Is there a similarity between EU centralism and ex-Soviet state? Viktor Orban compared Hungary's EU membership to the Soviet occupation of his country. It was during a speech in October this year commemorating the anniversary of Hungary's 1956 uprising against Soviet rule. Today, things pop up that remind us of the Soviet times, said Orban. Yes, it happens that history repeats itself, Orban added in the city of Veszprém. Fortunately, what once was tragedy is now a comedy at best. Fortunately, Brussels is not Moscow. Moscow was a tragedy. Brussels is just a bad contemporary parody, said Viktor Orban. We had to dance as the tune that Moscow whistled. Brussels whistles too, but we dance as we want to. And if we don't want to, then we don't dance, Orban added. There are but two questions. Firstly, is it true that the European Union is becoming one state structure, one centralized federal government? And second, are there ideological similarities between EU and Soviet Union? I try to answer both these questions. Some days ago, European Parliament agreed upon proposals concerning the changes in the European treaties. Member of European Parliament, Jacek Saryusz-Wolski, was one of six co-rapporteurs working in the European Parliament's Constitutional Affairs Committee on a report on proposals of the European Parliament for the amendment of the treaties. But eventually he slammed the door in an act of protest, being systematically outvoted by the five other co-rapporteurs under the leadership of the Belgian member of European Parliament, Guy Verhofstadt. Saryusz-Wolski was one of Poland's main negotiators for memberships in the European Union and was in charge of relations with EU in several governments in the 90s and then from the 2000s. He is surely not an Eurosceptic. So why did he protest? According to him, the new proposals have nothing to do with federalism. It is even much worse, he tried to explain. The purpose is simple. They are about creating a hierarchical superstate, a kind of empire. In a federation, the constituent parts are equal or narrowly equal, he tried to show. The Länder in Germany, the cantons in Switzerland, or the states in the US have the same or similar number of votes in the upper house of the federation's parliament. In the European Union, the opposite is true. The larger the country in population, the more it weighs. Therefore, it can be said that the draft treaty change is actually anti-federalist, against Saryusz-Wolski. These are not Euro-federalists, but Euro-centralists, according to him. So, what exactly do the new proposals accepted by the committee mean? It means that the decisions about climate and environmental issues will be imposed by the European Commission as is the case in areas where the EU already has exclusive competence, like for the common trade policy. This will be the most radical version of the Green Policy, the so-called Green Deal, which Dutchman Frans Timmermans wanted to impose. And since the draft amendments to the treaties involve lowering the threshold for votes in the Council from 55% of the countries comprising 65% of the EU's population to 50% of countries comprising 50% of the EU's population, pushing through the Commission's proposals will be easier and blocking anything will be more difficult. Actually, it will not be more difficult. It will be almost completely impossible. On top of that, there are new shared competences that actually become EU competences, since the treaty says that the EU has priority to exercise such competences. Member countries can only exercise them to the extent that the Union chooses not to. Therefore, they are not much different from exclusive competences. So we should say there are not two, but 10 new areas of competence that will be transferred to the EU level if the proposed changes come into force. The result will be the complete disappearance of national sovereignty of particular states. The new statement, titled Proposal of a Manifesto for a Federal Europe, Sovereign, Social and Ecological, runs over more than 40 pages and was drafted in the backdrop of the 80th anniversary of the Ventotene Manifesto in 2021. So we see a clear link connecting this Ventotene Manifesto and the new proposal of centralism in European Union. What was this Ventotene Manifesto? It was written in custody by Altiero Spinelli and others on what was then a prison island. The Ventotene Manifesto served as an important analysis, guideline and vision for European integration after the Second World War. The European vision of the Manifesto is based on a strong cosmopolitan perspective, which is explained in the introduction and touched on throughout the document. Now some quotations. We, the inhabitants of planet Earth, constitute a single humanity is one of the paradigmatic statements right at the beginning. It says that public goods and bads can only be addressed effectively through a system of democratic supranational governance, one that expands to the entire planet. Whoever is born on planet Earth is a citizen of the world, it states, and all need to be granted full and equal global citizenship rights. The Ventotene Manifesto already identified world federation as a second tier goal, but did not elaborate on the subject. The new document provides a detailed vision of global political integration and supports two parallel and complementary strategies. On the one hand, the creation of continental democratic regional proto-federations inspired by the EU example, and on the other, a reform of the UN system to make it more effective and democratic, although it has nothing to do with any kind of real democracy. The European Commission and the European Parliament nominated the Italian island of Ventotene, the historical capital of the moral and intellectual construction of European values, in a special ceremony 1 year ago. This ceremony was held amid a seminar on European federalism. Ventotene has been the lighthouse showing the way for European integration. This is why I proposed with Salvatore De Meo that the European Parliament recognizes this fundamental contribution by declaring it Europe's moral capital. That are the words of Dominic Ruiz de Vesa, a Spanish socialist EU lawmaker. Unfortunately, European Parliament actually accepted this idea that Ventotene is a kind of moral foundation or ideological foundation for the present European Union. Now, some words concerning history. In the 1930s and 1940s, the island of Ventotene was used as a site of imprisonment for political dissidents under fascism. In the early 1940s, during a period of confinement on the island, three men, Altiero Spinelli, Ernesto Rossi, and Eugenio Colorni, produced the so-called Ventone Manifesto, one of the texts widely considered to be a founding document of the European Union. So, if somebody wants to understand what the European Union is, must read this manifesto, because it is the ideological foundation of all present new vision of European Union. So, now a quotation. The most important assessment of the manifesto was the assertion that the dividing line between progressive and reactionary parties no longer follows the formal line of greater or lesser democracy, or of more or less socialism to be instituted. Rather, the division falls along the line, very new and substantial, that separates the party members into two groups. The first is made of those who conceive the essential purpose and goal of struggle as the ancient one, that is, the conquest of national political power, and who, although involuntarily, play into the hands of reactionary forces, letting the incandescent lever of popular passions set in the old molds, and thus allowing old absurdities to arise once again. The second are those who see the creation of a solid international state as the main purpose. They will direct popular forces toward this goal, and having won national power, will use it first and foremost as an instrument for achieving international unity. So one can clearly see. The second are those who see the creation of a solid international state as the main purpose. That is the main purpose of the present European Parliament, the international central state. So the forces of progress, according to Altiero Spinelli, must be extolled and extended. They must find increasing ranges for development and utilization. So one can easily say that the present drive for centralism is surely connected with the originally communist ideas of Spinelli himself, and especially with the manifesto of Ventotene. So the present idea of a federal European Union is not federal at all, but is a centralization, the idea of centralization, and it has a clear communist roots, which one can find in the manifesto of Spinelli himself. So now the second problem. Are there real similarities between EU and Soviet Union? Or is it a kind of exaggeration? I think that one can establish a formidable similarity and even identity more than once between the former Soviet Union and the European Union. The general structure and goals of the two unions, including the abolition of nation states, stem from one and the same ideological foundation. This ideological foundation for both of them is the same. It is communist ideology. I will mention, in that respect, the analysis of Vladimir Bukovsky, the late Vladimir Bukovsky. Bukovsky, once the best-known Soviet dissident who visited several prisons and labor camps, as well as psychiatric institutes, in the former Soviet Empire, was then able to leave for Great Britain as part of prisoner exchange before his death in 2019, dealt with the illusion he harbored towards the West. Among other things, he saw that the former Soviet Union, with all its faults, lives on in the European Union. If we compare the internal structure of the two unions, we discover a striking similarity. But even more similarity we'll find if we compare the ideological structure. Because in an ideological sense, the similarity between the Soviet and Brussels systems is even more striking. But perhaps, in this case, it is more appropriate to speak of identity. The goal of the Soviet Union was to create a new historical community, the Soviet people, the socialist type of men. Everyone was indoctrinated to forget their nationality, traditions and customs. The European Union doesn't want to see Frenchmen, Germans, Hungarians, Slovaks, Poles, etc. either. He wants a new historical community to be created, everyone to be European, suppress all national feelings and live in a multinational community, in a multinational centralized community. The main goal of the Soviet Union was the liquidation of nation states, and now the European Union is doing exactly the same. European Union is going to abolish and liquidate particular nation states and particular sovereignty of these nation states. Brussels is trying to absorb the nation states so that they don't exist anymore. The Soviet Union wanted to build a federal state. The EU's intention is no different. It wants to create the United States of Europe, but this United States of Europe won't be kind of federal state entity. It will be a kind of centralized government. So, I do agree that there are many dangerous features which make present EU similar to the ex-Soviet states. But I'm afraid that it is not a comedy at all. this project has been financed from the means of the Justice Fund administered by the Minister of Justice.